The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 10, text number 54, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 2nd, 2017, in Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Eka Patni Vrata Dara. Raja Rishi Charita Shuchi Svadharmam Grihamedhiyam Sikshayan Svayam Acharat Ekapatni Vrata Daro Dajarshi Charita Shuchi Svadharmam griha medhiyam Chakshayan svayam acharat Ekapatni vrita daro Rajarshi charita shuchi Svadharmam griha medhiyam Chakshayan svayam acharat Ekapatni vrata dara.
Ekapatni vrata dara.
Taking a vow not to accept a second wife or to have any association with any other women.
Taking a vow not to accept a second wife or to have any association with any other woman.
Rajarishi.
Rajarishi.
Like a saintly king.
Like a saintly king.
Charita.
Charita.
Whose character Shuchi. Pure.
Svadharmam.
One's own occupation of duty. Grihamedhiyam. Especially of persons situated in household life. Shikshayam.
Teaching by personal behavior.
Svayam. Personally.
Acharat.
Executed his duty. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of varnashrama dharma. Thus, he taught the general public by his personal activities. Report. Ekapatni vrata, accepting only one wife, was the glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. One should not accept more than one wife. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. And Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravana and the Rakshasas. Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas. But to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravana and finally killed him. The Lord punished Ravana and rescued his wife to instruct men to have only one wife. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regulative principles of varnashrama dharma. those who live in accordance with these principles, either as householders, brahmacharis, or vanaprasthas, are all equally important. So here a very important principle is being taught by Lord Ramachandra, by his example, and by Srila Prabhupada in his purport explaining. Ekapatni vrata, taking a vow to have only one wife. Prabhupada also, you may say, well, there's so many brahmacharis here, how you can talk about this in front of the brahmacharis. But as Prabhupada points out, this living in accordance with this principle, one becomes just as transcendently situated, either as a householder, a brahmachari, a vanaprastha, or a sannyasi. So the brahmacharis, even though they may remain brahmachari, they should understand this philosophy so they can train the householders. So this is very important for all of us to understand this principle, this ekapatni vrata, a very important principle we should also understand very nicely. Of course, some brahmacharis will get married also. Prabhupada said brahmachari ashram is for those who are attached and those who are detached. So brahmachari can be a training ground for being a first class householder, or it can be a training ground for being a sannyasi. Either way, you see. It's an ashram for both purposes. Brahmachari ashram for training grihasthas and for training sannyasis also. Either way. So it's a very important principle we should all understand. Ekapatni vrata. You say, well, why? I mean, the Vedic times they had so many wives. Even Prabhupada sometimes said there was an advantage to polygamy, because, of course, nowadays I don't think it's true anymore. It used to be there was more females. Now, because of abortion, in some countries they will kill the female babies, you see. So now the female population has gone down. But it used to be there was more women than men. So polygamy had an advantage that all the girls could be married. So there wasn't enough men to marry every one husband for every girl. So formerly polygamy had a validity in that sense. But Prabhupada, knowing our lusty natures, he's teaching us this principle. Because our tendency is to enjoy our senses, and if you have more than one wife, then you become more lusty, you see. So this principle of being satisfied with one wife is a very important principle. Actually, one who is Krishna conscious doesn't need a wife at all to be satisfied. He's called Atmaram. He's self-satisfied. But if one has the desire to enter household life, and he does it properly, that's also glorious. Being a brahmachari is glorious. Being a proper householder is glorious. Being a vanaprastha is glorious. Being a sannyasi is glorious. If you're following the principles of varnashram dharma, in any position, it's glorious. So because the Krishna conscious householder, the one who is actually Krishna conscious, not officially, but I'm using in his heart, one who is actually within his heart Krishna conscious, his happiness comes from Krishna, not from anything else, you see. So he can act as a benefactor to his wife to strengthen her in her Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we see that people don't understand the significance of Krishna and the name of Krishna. Just like I got a report from my disciple in Oman. He sends me monthly reports about himself, his wife, and his daughter and his son. Well, the daughter, a 12-year-old daughter now, has stopped chanting altogether. Because the mother was telling her, you're not chanting properly, it's offensive. So she was thinking, it's better I don't chant at all than to chant offensively. So now I've written her, I asked her to write me and say why she wasn't chanting, and she's explained this to me. So the real thing is, she said it's boring. So what is the understanding about this? So when I say it's just the same old thing, you know, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's like playing some record over and over again for 50 years. They're playing the same record over and over again, get tired of it, you know. When that's the child's complaint. So for material things, certainly that's true. If we had to go, you know, Mary had a little lamb, for 50 years, every, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day, Mary had a little, it would be really disgusting, you see. But why is this different? You see, this the little girl doesn't understand, so I've written an elaborate answer to her so she can understand. Think this is mystical. I told her this. I said, if you were in Krishna, if you were with Krishna in Krishna Loka, would you get bored by his association? You see, the same person. I mean, I have to associate with the same person forever, Krishna? That would certainly be boring also, right? But remember this, Navi Yovanam. Krishna is an ever-fresh youth. He never gets boring or hackneyed or old or stereotyped. Being with Krishna is a never-ending... Krishna is never the same from 1 minute to the next, you understand? He's ever-fresh. His association is dynamic. It's thrilling because Krishna manifests unlimited varieties of qualities and flavors of relationship that go on. Krishna is never boring also. That's my point. Krishna himself is never boring. He's ever exciting, every aspect. He's always surprising his devotees. But the way he acts, the way he talks, he's never, it's like a robot, you see, a programmed robot. Krishna is unlimitedly expansive in his qualities and his characteristics. He never just acts like a broken record. He's always, everything he does is unique. Every minute you experience with Krishna is a unique experience. You see, it's not a repeating like a broken record, again and again and again and again. Every minute with Krishna is unique. So, the name Krishna and the person Krishna, is there a difference? There's no difference at all. It's simply a matter of our perception. But actually, every time you utter Krishna, or you utter Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare, it's not the same. Every time you utter it, it's different. It's a unique experience with every repetition of the mantra. We don't realize that. You see, we think, yeah, well, I'm supposed to do this, and someday I'll really awaken to the real nectar. But right now, it's a duty. I have to do it. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We think like that, like this girl is thinking. She come out and says it openly. I'm bored with it. We know we're not supposed to be bored with it. And we do it out of duty, even though some we may find it boring, we never say that, you see. She, a little girl, she's openly saying, yeah, it's boring, I don't want to do it. You see. But the point is, it's not really boring. Every mantra is, the experience you have each time you chant Hare Krishna is different than any experience you ever had by chanting in the past. It's not a repeat of the same thing. It may appear to be a pretty of the same thing, but it's always ever fresh and ever changing and ever more thrilling and ever exciting at every minute. So in the beginning, you see, she's saying, well, I don't want to chant offensively, so it's better I just don't chant at all. But the thing is, it's more offensive not to chant than it is to chant offensively. What is the first stage of chanting Hare Krishna? Offensive chanting. We all begin, unless you're a pure devotee who descended from Goloka to liberate all the souls of this world, if you're a conditioned soul like me who's trying to get out of this material world by taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, then you start at the offensive stage. That's where you begin. You begin chanting in the offensive stage. You can't avoid it because our hearts are filled with so much crud, isn't it? Unless you're a Paramahamsa. Your first stage is offensive. But that's okay, that you got to start somewhere. It's normal, the beginning, to have offensive chanting. then you learn how to avoid the offenses, you see. You know, how to offer respects to Vaishnavas, how to obey the spiritual master, you know, all these different offenses that we recite every day. Mentioned the nectar devotion by Srila Prabhupada. So by setting the offenses and trying to avoid them, not only while you're doing the actual chanting, but throughout the whole day, trying to avoid these offenses, then you enter into what's called the clearing stage. Now you're sincerely trying to clear off your offenses. So that's a wonderful, wonderful phase. It's compared to the sunrise before you actually see the disk arising over the horizon. It's getting brighter now. Even though you don't see the sun yet, it's getting brighter. That's the clearing stage, you see. You're starting to get illumination within your heart. Even though you can't see Krishna yet directly, you're seeing the effect of his becoming manifest within your heart, you see. You're becoming illuminated, elevated in your consciousness. That's the clearing stage. Then finally, when you reach the offenseless stage, then Prabhupada says you see Krishna face to face. It's like we're seeing each other right now. You will see Krishna directly. Not just a photograph of the deity. You'll see the person, Krishna, his original form. And he'll reciprocate with you. That's the offenseless stage. So, in this way I told her, well, go ahead and chant. You see. Chanting is enchanting. But if you don't chant, you don't get enchanted. You see. But if you do chant, you will become enchanted by the power of the name. So, because we have this incredible thing, or this incredible vehicle, to directly associate with God Himself, the source of everything, to associate with Him at every minute, therefore we can be satisfied in remaining a brahmachari or being a householder with one wife, you see. Even though there's so many beautiful girls walking around, you see. My wife, she'd been really beautiful when I married her, but now she's becoming an old and ugly like me, you see. So, it's not very attractive. An old woman is not very attractive, you see. And there's so many pretty girls, so that's why people divorce one, they marry another one, you see. Because they're still on the platform of material enjoyment. But one who actually learns how to relish the pleasure of Krishna's name, which is far more relishable than any, you know, type of sex pleasure you could ever conceive of. Who needs another wife? This is not necessary. One wife is fine. I can be happy with one wife because I have Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has now given himself to me in the form of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, we have to also realize these facts, not just theoretically, but in practice. Another point is how dedicated Lord Ram was to Mother Sita. I mean, he stopped at nothing to rescue his wife, you see. When you take a wife, you're actually obliged to see that she goes back to Godhead. Her guru is obliged and you're also obliged. One should not accept a wife unless you can make that commitment to take care of her all of her material needs very nicely, and also see that she is going back to home, back to Godhead. So it's a very, very serious commitment to get married. And the brahmachari also, he's making a very serious commitment to act for the welfare of all living entities. The brahmachari, he's keeping himself in a streamlined position with no distractions, that he can simply focus on hearing, chanting, reading, preaching. It's his life's work. Both positions are good. The brahmachari position is considered better if one can do that. Or Krishna may sometimes arrange something. Sometimes Prabhupada arranged. In the beginning, one of his daughters, I forget her name, one of his disciples, Prabhupada picked out a husband for her and told the boy to marry her, and he did, get my guru's order. It became a very happy marriage. It was on the order of Srila Prabhupada. Not that the boy was thinking, I wanted to marry someone, just Prabhupada wanted her to have a husband, so he told one boy to marry her, and Prabhupada's order, so you just do it. You see? They had a very happy marriage. You see? So sometimes it's arranged that one should get married also, but Prabhupada would do that. He wanted his daughter to have a very nice husband. So perhaps there's some questions, and I'll try to answer them. Anyone have questions? Sometimes wives are more advanced than their husbands. Yes. In this case, is there a duty prescribed for the wife to deliver their husbands back to Godhead? Prabhupada said if the wife is more advanced, she becomes the guru of her husband. So yes. If the wife is more Krishna conscious, she should train up her husband. Definitely. She should definitely train up her husband. Thank you for relishing Mangalacharan. It's a bliss to listen to you. It's absolutely, I mean, the thing is, these prayers are not some mechanical thing. We are directly associating with Krishna. It's like that Vandeham, Shri Guru, Shri Gurun Dina. We're directly associating with Shri, spiritual master, and all the acharyas, they become manifest in that prayer. If you do it meditatively, you're directly contacting all the acharyas in the disciplic succession. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Can you imagine if you were invited to some gathering in Vrindavan, you could go in a time machine and go back to the bank of the Jamuna 500 years ago and be with the Goswamis? Well, there you go. Vandeham is a time machine. You can hop in and actually associate with these great personalities if you chant meditatively. Don't just take it as some, get it over with. No, try to go deep, deep, deep into these mantras. They are airplanes, time machines that will take you into another dimension if you will go, if you're willing to go. Cut loose from the material nature. Krishna says in numerous instances in the Bhagavad Gita to always think about Him with the mind, manmana bhava, madarpito manobhudhir, bhajantyananyamanaso. I have some idea of how to engage the body and mind and words in Krishna's service. Could you please give some practical ways how we can always think of Krishna within the mind? One of the best tricks that I know is you beg Krishna for it. Krishna, you just talk with him. Krishna's not deaf. He can hear you. He can hear every prayer you make. So don't pray for a new Cadillac or, you know, a house by the sea. Pray for Krishna Smarana. My dear Lord, please bless me. I can always be thinking of you at every minute and all times, places, and circumstances. That's the best thing. You beg for it. Just beg. I'm such a rascal. I keep thinking about sex and food and eating and sleeping and money and prestige. And I'm so polluted, my Lord. Please save me from this. I'm just a sleazy character. Please save me from this and let me be fully absorbed in thinking of you with love at every minute. How to control uncontrolled lust, which is prevalent everywhere with internet, pornography, sites, magazines, billboards. It's just everywhere. Unbelievable. Everywhere. They want to show women's breasts. I mean, it's just unbelievable how we're being bombarded with this stuff. You have to pray to Krishna, Madan Mohan. Krishna is Madan Mohan. Mohan is the one who with a little, he's called Cupid. He has that little quiver where he's going to be shooting, psh, 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 shooting his arrows of lust into the heart. Ah! You see, you get hit with that lusty thought, ah, oh, Cupid got you another arrow. Now you're thinking about some breasts or some sexual organs or something like that, you know. You got hit by an arrow with Cupid, you know. So how do you protect yourself? Well, there is Madan or Cupid. There's also Madan Mohan, the one who attracts Cupid. So you just ask Madan Mohan, please keep this, that little character, Cupid, away from me. Please keep him away. Distract him. Keep him away from me. Please, Krishna, let me be free from this lust. You see? My dear, you can address him, Madan Mohan. My dear Madan Mohan, please save me from the arrows of Cupid. I'm being hit. It's like a machine gun arrow zapping my consciousness. Please, Madan Mohan, save me from this. And Krishna will, you see. If that doesn't work, then there's somebody else called Madan Mohan Mohini, the attractor of Cupid, Mother Radharani. If you're really, really in bad shape, say, Mother Radharani, I'm finished. I'm falling into horrible maya. Please, please convince Krishna to get Cupid off my case, off my back, you see. So in this way, what if the wife is not interested in becoming a devotee? How does the husband take her back to God if I can convince her to become a devotee? It's the other way around too. Sometimes the husband doesn't want to be a devotee and the wife does. I have a disciple, she's a very dedicated disciple. Her husband wants nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, but she's strong and she's determined. So she's following strictly the principles because she's very strong and determined. She's tough, a tough fighter actually. A very good devotee, a very tough fighter. She doesn't let her husband... She'll travel to visit family members and do things to compromise on for those kind of things. If her husband wants to go on a vacation to the Grand Canyon, you know, she'll go with him. But in terms of the principles, no, she's very strong. Very, very tough and strong. When trying to fix marriages between devotees, how important is the stars of astrology? Not very important. Because astrology means under the influence of the stars, and the stars means under the influence of the demigods. Under the influence of the demigods means under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Astrology is within the modes. But when you come to the transcendental platform, you get beyond the modes, you get beyond the stars. So astrology is not a very important thing. Especially nowadays, the astrologers are not that expert anyway. They speculate like anything. How to get strong determination to chant attentively and not to think anything else during japa? By realizing it's your only hope. Just remember Bharat Maharaj, he thought of a deer. The time of death became a deer. How to deal with a divorce? End it. But take your divorce and close the book on it right now. No divorce. Why so many souls leave Krishna to become part of the material world? Because they misuse their independence. But it's not so many compared to the infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world. It's actually an infinitesimal fraction that make that stupid mistake. But because there's an infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world, that infinitesimal fraction, and if we have any mathematicians here, 1/infinity times infinity equals infinity. So we have therefore an infinite number of living entities who've fallen down, but that's only an infinitesimal fraction of the infinite number of living entities who didn't make the mistake. So it's a very insignificant fraction that actually make this mistake. And because it's just a vast number of living entities in the spiritual world, it appears there's a lot of us who make this mistake, but comparatively speaking, very, very few people actually ever make that mistake. And we're with some of those stupid few who made the mistake. How does one become Krishna conscious? What will happen after death if you have made mistakes in your life? You become Krishna conscious by your desire to become Krishna conscious, by realizing you need to become Krishna conscious. You take shelter of Guru and Krishna. And under that, taking shelter of your spiritual master and Lord Krishna, by their blessings and by your sincere dedication to following their instructions, you have an awakening of Krishna consciousness within your heart. It's actually already there. It's just sleeping right now. It's dormant. Your dormant Krishna consciousness becomes reawakened by taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, being obedient to their instructions. So, even in household life, we do not need to get married. What? Doesn't matter. Household life means you're married. You can't have a household life unless you're married. Otherwise, it's just prostitution. You have to sanctify with the marriage ceremony. You can't just live together. Common law, husband and wife, it's prostitution. You should have a formal ceremony, making that vow and spiritualizing the relationship and offering it to Krishna. Prabhupada performed wedding yajnas in the beginning. But so many devotees weren't able to properly keep their marriage vows, so Prabhupada said, I'm not doing any more yajnas. You do it now, married at your own risk. But in the beginning, he personally did the yajnas, the marriage arranged ceremonies. There's a famous Bhakti Gaudiya article called The Wedding in Boston. Three householder couples got married. Prabhupada, Nikuntanath, he arranged he had Nikuntanath married that girl, I forget her name. It's a young girl, huh? Saradiya, yeah. Prabhupada picked her husband for her. And just being, in those days, everybody's told, whatever Prabhupada says, he said, oh, by Kuntanath, he married Saradiya, and he did it. Not that he wanted to get married, but he did it as a service to Prabhupada. They have it. There's all marriages and very happy marriage. And then also Nandakishore and Mother Janava, and the third one is Bharat Raj and Rukmini. The three of them, he did a marriage ceremony for the three of them in Boston. So, yeah, the marriage ceremony is a very important thing for householders. And we can, devoted brahmacharis can even attend it to encourage them. You see, to be dharmic, to have as a brahmachari, we can go. Right? If Prabhupada can form a yajna, the brahmachari can also attend it to encourage them to have a varnashram dharmic marriage. We can encourage it, give our blessings. You see, a brahmachari can bless it by attending it. Yes, we want to bless you. You have a Krishna conscious marriage. We're coming to wish you well in your Krishna conscious marriage. Any other questions? Yes, one coming now. You said that one can become a pure devotee either in 1 second or a million lifetimes. Apart from King Katvanga, who knew when he would die, are there any other examples of people actually achieve perfection in one moment? Simply by their strong desire without having to spend years or lifetimes following the process. I don't know of any examples. It doesn't mean there aren't any. I don't know of any. So we think, well, you know, I got 50 years maybe, so just kind of take it slow and easy, you know. Control my senses a little bit, but, you know, don't get too serious about it yet. I mean, after all, I'm just in my 30s, you know. Time and tide wait for no man. Death can come at any minute and pull you out of that body. Therefore, we should intensely desire pure bhakti at every minute. Just coming down the stairs, you can slip and hit your head and leave your body on the way to Mangalarti. You see? Or what to speak of traffic accidents that are happening every day. You see? Who would think that tomorrow Krishna Goswami would be killed by going to the airport, from Mayapur to the airport? He was killed in a taxi. The taxi driver fell asleep and they crashed into a tree. Instant death. You see? So how do we know it's not going to happen to us? So therefore, we've got to be very serious. This could be my last day on this planet. This could be my last hour, my last minute even. I could drop dead of a heart attack while I'm right in the middle of the Bhagavatam class, for all I know. You see? So I've got to be very serious. The thing is, if you you have that intense desire that I must at this minute now become a completely pure devotee, free of all lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. If you have that intensity, it'll definitely speed up your process. It'll probably still be gradual, but it's going to be a lot less gradual than it would have been. You understand? One must intensely desire pure bhakti right now. You see? I don't want to mess around with anything else. I want pure bhakti now. That's how we should think.
Yeah. We have so many other examples. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, they were in essence children, they were Krishna conscious.
Explain further.
I mean, they said Prahlad Maharaj attained self-realization at the age of 5.
Yes.
He may have lived longer, but he was Krishna conscious. He was liberated soul.
He was pure devotee even within the womb. Is by hearing. Shukadeva realized at the age of 16 in the womb of his mother. That's an interesting story. He was actually a Brahmanandi. He realized an impersonal Brahman. But in the womb of his mother, he heard Vyasadeva reciting Bhagavatam. And just by hearing the Bhagavatam, He went from impersonal Brahman realization to Bhagavan realization. And since he did that, he said, he was afraid to come out of the womb because he was Brahman realized. He didn't want to get distracted by the material energy. So he purposefully stayed in the womb of his mother for 16 years. But as soon as he heard the Bhagavatam, he said, there's nothing to fear. I just got to serve Krishna. Jai. And he came popping out of the womb. And he didn't stick around for household life. He was afraid he'd get attached. Immediately took off running. He didn't even stick around long enough to get any clothes. Immediately headed out. The original streaker. Immediately headed out. Vyasadeva's running after, "My dear son, we love you. Please come home." No question of home. He went running. And he came to some river that all the... In India, there was a system where the ladies would, in a secluded place in the river, they would skinny dip, what we call skinny dipping, and bathing naked. So all the ladies were bathing naked in this one spot. He came running by. They didn't even bother to cover up. They could see he was completely beyond the bodily plane, like a little baby, you know. But then the father came after him. They all covered up because he's a householder. He has to make a distinction between male and female. So we got some more questions coming in now. Okay. How do we understand polygamy in Islamic culture? Is it based on protection of women? Well, it certainly should be. The principle of polygamy is that every woman should be protected. Actually, Hazrat Muhammad is described and accepted as Bhakti Siddhanta as a Shaktivesh avatar. So there's certainly a lot of validity in what he established. What the followers have done with that is another thing. But what he actually established was based on some very valid principles. Is capital punishment in the Middle East also based on law of karma? I don't know what they based it on. I don't know if they talk about the law of karma. I'm not expert in... Do we have any Islamic scholars here? I'm not well read in the Quran. For individual soul, spiritual means relationships with Krishna. Is it for Krishna, who is all spiritual, means his relationship with his devotees? Material for us is our own... Or this is a... It's hard to read here. For individual soul, spiritual means relationship is with Krishna. Is it for Krishna, who is with his devotees? This needs to be rewritten so I can understand it correctly. I'd love to answer it, but please write it again more clearly. Along with desire, there must be activity. what activities should we do to show Krishna our intense desire for pure bhakti? Manmanabhavabhakto madjanji mang namaskaru mamme vashishi yuktvayvan atmanang matpadayanaha satatang tirtayanto mang yatantas dhidavatana namashannashjanam nityan dhidhajutam upasate. Always chanting my glories, that's the one thing. Absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. Bow down to Krishna. Think of Krishna. Absorb yourself in Krishna. Devote yourself to Krishna. Tadvidi pranipatena. Take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. It's all there in the Gita. Yagyashishtasadashanto muchante sarvakeva vishai. Whatever you eat, offer to Krishna with love and devotion. It's all given exactly by Krishna. Precisely is given by Krishna. Exactly what he wants us to do. Now just follow the instructions. Samadhamastapashottam arjam. They're all given there. Samadhamastapashottam. Shantim arjam evacham. Gyanam viganamastikam. Bharma karma svabhavajam. Everything is there. Just read the Gita and apply the Gita. Live the Gita. Don't just read the Gita. Live the Gita in all times, places, and circumstances. And you'll be there. You'll become a pure devotee very quickly if you do that. Okay? Mention that it's for devotees to get married. We don't need to check the horoscope. But it is a fact that while getting married, they are still under the modes. Is it okay to check with qualified devotees within ISKCON? Well, I didn't do it. I just followed Tamal Krishna Maharaj's suggestion. And it worked out really well. Let me ask you this. Any devotees who do consult astrologers, they all had perfect marriages with no divorce? It'd be interesting to see the statistics. Devotees who consulted astrologers, there was no divorce from those marriages. They were all perfect marriages. It'd be interesting to study. I personally don't think of course, the ISKCON astrologer will disagree with me. Obviously. But Prabhupada, I can back it up with quotes from Prabhupada. It is traditional to consult astrologers. Traditionally, that was done. But they're not that expert anymore. They're really not. A bona fide astrologer can tell you exactly when you will die. What day, what place. He precisely can tell you everything like that. Where do we see such astrologers? I don't see them anywhere. In ISKCON or anywhere. You see? If you want to do it, go ahead. But don't take it as gospel. That's all I can say. If you want to know what's gospel, the books are gospel. I guarantee you, if you will follow Prabhupada's books, you'll have a perfect marriage. They're much better than any astrologer. Guaranteed. You said we should have the desire to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. In desiring to attain pure devotional service, should we desire even this for Krishna's pleasure? Absolutely. There is nothing that will please Krishna more than when you become his pure devotee. He's been waiting for you to become his pure devotee for millions and billions of lifetimes. That is the greatest pleasure you can give to Krishna, is to become his pure devotee. That gives him unlimited pleasure. Or is the desire for pure devotional service for the sake of desiring to become perfect? You can desire to become perfect because it pleases Krishna. Krishna, it's all the same thing. Thinking, well, I have a desire to become a pure devotee. And that's perfect. Does Krishna desire for us not to become pure devotees? No, Krishna desires that we all become pure devotees. Therefore, if I desire to become a pure devotee, I'm amalgamating my desire with Krishna's desire. My desires are now becoming one with Krishna's desire. You see, if I have one desire and one desire only, is I must now become the pure devotee of Krishna. So, anything else? Yes. Sure, I might hear you and see if I can fathom it. If not, I'll have someone repeat it for me. Go ahead and say it. I have my hearing aid amped up now with my little amplifier.
Sorry. Wasn't he a realized soul from the beginning?
What is a realized?
She's asking about Katvanga Maharaj. Katvanga Maharaj.
Yes.
Was he a realized soul from the beginning?
Was he a liberated soul from the beginning? It's not described that way in Prabhupada's books. He was a very pious king, very powerful kshatriya. It's not described that he was already self-realized. It's described he became self-realized within a moment. That's how Prabhupada describes it in his purport. He was pious. He was dharmic. But he was not fully realized. But he became fully realized when he realized that death is just now coming. You see. So, who of us can say that death is just not coming for us? Maybe I'll go to an astrologer. He says, "Well, don't worry, Prabhu, you can take it easy. You're not going to die till you're 85. "Oh, great, I can go ahead and, you know, have some fun, you know, gratify my senses, break a few principles, and, you know, when I turn 80, I'll get serious." But the astrologer made a mistake. Whoop! Prabhupada said that, see, your future is written in your palm. But Prabhupada said, once clapping in the kirtan, your palm has changed. So, the point is, when you take up Krishna consciousness, even if the astrologer is perfect, when you take up Krishna consciousness, now you go beyond the influence of the stars. Krishna can make subtler. Krishna can, if you were meant to die at the age of 69, you could live to be 109 because of Krishna's desire. Krishna is not under the stars. We are, but Krishna isn't. And if Krishna has some other desire for us, he can ignore the stars and make another arrangement for you. So, Krishna is the supreme star, the superstar, the super duper star. I just follow the supreme star, you see, Krishna, and you'll be all right. So is that it? Y'all are... Yes?
Can you please explain what self-realization means?
What does self-realization mean? It means to realize the self. In other words, who are you actually? Are you that body? Are you that mind? No. You're actually an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with Krishna. You're an eternal servant of Krishna. So to become self-realized means you fully realize who you are. And by doing that, you also realize who is that supreme person of whom you're the eternal servant. So when you become perfectly self-realized, you realize Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and I'm his eternal servant. And in the perfectional stage, there's different stages of self-realization also. In the perfectional stage of self-realization, you become fully and purely absorbed in your original relationship with Krishna. Actually, you are one of his associates in the spiritual world. Did you know that? You're actually an associate of God in the spiritual world, but you thought to try something different. You thought to try to be God instead of serving God. An example is given by Prabhupada in this connection. A little girl looks up in the... Her mother always gives her whatever she wants. So she looks up at that beautiful moon in the sky one moonlit night. And she says, "Mommy, Mommy, give me, give me." Now, can the mother give the child the moon? No. But the mother wanted to satisfy the little girl. So she gave her a mirror in the hand in which the moon is reflected. "Oh, my mommy loves me so much, she has given me the moon. So we were there as an associate of the Lord in the spiritual world. He's our affectionate parent. And we had a desire to try to enjoy separately from him, which is not really possible. Just as it's not possible to get the moon in your hand. But Krishna wanted to satisfy us nonetheless by giving us the illusion that we are the Supreme. You see? So now we came here thinking, yes, I'm the Supreme. I'm the Supreme. I'm the Supreme. We came here to a world where we can think, I'm the Supreme. Everybody thinks that I'm the Supreme. We're all butting heads with each other. You see? So finally realize there's something wrong here. This doesn't seem right. Isn't there some higher understanding of reality than this? And then when you have that sincere desire, then Krishna within your heart realizes that, oh, she's interested now to come out of this illusion that she's the Supreme. So let me bring her in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who can enlighten her as to her actual identity, you see. So then when that happens, you go, wow. I mean, I'm actually not my body. This body that's going to rot and get old and die. I mean, I'm actually an eternal spiritual being and an eternal youth. I actually have an identity in the spiritual world. Wow. Tell me more. How can I awaken it? We have a whole process how to do that by chanting the mala, 16 rounds of mala every day, avoiding illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling, taking initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. In this way, you get the seed of bhakti planted in your heart. And that seed of bhakti, then if you water by regularly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, that seed begins to grow. It becomes a little seedling. And it actually travels, it traverses the vast expanse of the universe. It penetrates the coverings of the universe and enters into the spiritual world where it wraps itself around the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and then a beautiful fruit of love of God becomes manifest. So the perfection of self-realization is when the fruit of love of God becomes fully ripened within your heart. But the beginning is you hear from the spiritual master. Simply by his hearing, he's planting the seed of self-realization in your heart. So that's the beginning. You get the seed. You see, the guru places a seed in your heart. Now you've begun your pathway of self-realization. And you keep chanting Hare Krishna. You avoid illicit sex life, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. And then grant that self-realization becomes mature, mature, more mature until it becomes perfect. And you have awakening of pure love of God within your heart. And at that point, you can directly see God with your own eyes. You can associate with God himself at every minute. Interested? We'll sign you up. Very good. We have our e-course. You can go. I'll give you my card for my e-course. We have a whole training program on the internet. You know, I'll give it to you after the class. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Sri Mansa Krishna Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.